This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
It's story time!
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire, I go by Clizair on the internet, and this is the podcast where guests tell me their stories. And this week I have with me Carolyn Nadine Helsing. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad we can work this out. We had a few back and forths.
Sometimes it's hard to work out the old time difference. All right. Do you want to tell people where to introduce yourself quickly and tell people where to find you on the internet?
Yes. You can find me on all the socials, Instagram, Facebook, just by my full name, Caroline Nadine Helsing. And then I have author at the end because I'm an author. And then I have a website as well, which is just Caroline Nadine Helsing, and that links everything together. So, yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll put all of the links down in the description. They'll be in the audio notes on the show notes on the audio platforms, and then they'll be down in the description on the YouTube platform as well, and okay. It'll be on screen. So if you want to just scroll down and click and go follow Caroline Nadine. You have a story for me today.
I do. Oh, and you mentioned this. So this, it's about this, the inspiration for this book, Unapologetic, which is the story of my mother's life. So basically, my story is about the journey that I took with my mother after she passed, and after I promised that I would take her back to all of her favorite places that she'd ever loved in her youth, in her life. It was a very like emotional and like beautiful experience to have with her. And it kind of like brought me even closer to her after she passed, if that makes sense. Cause it was like, I saw the places through her eyes and yeah. So my mother, I guess give you some backstory. So she was a complete character. She was kind of like a cross between like Holly Golightly from Breakfast at Tiffany's, if you know that story, and or like you know, Auntie Mame. She kind of like dressed like Moira from Schitt's Creek, you know, even when she went to the grocery store.
Yeah.
So she was just unapologetically herself at all times. Originally from New York City, so loved glamour, loved like fashion. And yet like I grew up in Hawaii. So when she met my father, they moved to like an island in the middle of the Pacific, you know, and lived there for 36 years. So she literally stuck out like a sore thumb. She was just very unique. Like she didn't, you know, bake cookies or go to PTA meetings or, you know, any of that. Like she wore sequins to the beach and she kept like her shoes in the oven because like her closet was too small, like, you know, so yeah, she was very unique, but she, you know, she was just very much someone who would like teach by doing. And she was very much like about following your bliss and like, you know, gave me the confidence and to make me feel like I can do anything. And, you know, she was just very loving and hilarious. So anyway, that was my mom. And then unfortunately she passed in 2019. She actually passed on New Year's Day, which again, if you know anything about her, she's like, she loved a good party at all times. So it kind of makes sense that she'd wait to go out with this like big bang. Like I had mentioned, I had promised her that I would take her back to New York, you know, the city that she just had a love affair with. And, I should tell you too, during the course she was in hospice and we really were like, well, wait, she didn't really leave an after death plan, you know, like, what did she want? You know, did she want to be buried here? Did she want that to happen? What did she want? And I had
Is an after death plan like a regular thing?
Well, Unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people make them, but I mean, no. So say it's like, okay, you know, you buy your plot or you tell a family member, hey, I'd like to be buried here or something, like some conversation. It's probably not as common as it should be. But what happens is it leaves the family members to go, shit, you know, like, so I highly recommend having some kind of discussion with someone about what you want. And anyway, so that was never something that was really discussed, but I did remember a couple of times in passing, my mother saying, when I die, I want my ashes spread across Bergdorf Goodman, which is this high-end department store in Manhattan. Which kind of gives you an idea of her character. And I was like, and she said that a couple times. And, you know, of course, you know, when we were talking about this, I was like, well, I do remember this, the, you know, these two times she was discussing this and she did say this, but I don't know if she's kidding. You know, I think this is what she wants. I don't know. Basically it inspired, it was all that I had to go by. And I sat with it and just in knowing her and knowing how much she loved that city and just knowing her, like it was the perfect tribute for her. So that comment inspired me to just go back to New York City. So, you know, that's what I did. I remember getting her ashes back. And mind you, I'd never handled, seen ashes before. I was freaking out because, you know, everything I did, I wanted to do with like love and like honor her. And so when I got her urn back, and it's this like huge golden, like ornate, heavy thing. Of course, I'm not going to be like walking around the city with that thing. So I knew before I left, I had to, you know, take what I needed. And I set everything out. I remember going outside, laying down some newspaper, putting her urn out, putting up flowers, like lighting a candle, like, you know, putting her picture up. I knew it was something I was never going to forget. And I knew that, again, like I needed it to be loving and respectful, and I certainly didn't want her to come back and haunt me. You know? I did that. And of course I'm like Googling too, like how to handle ashes and like, you know, what I didn't know, like what happens if like the oils on your fingers, like gets it contaminated? What happens if you breathe in it? Like, I don't know. I was just like, I need to make sure I know everything about this. And it was fine. I thought of all the places that I would want to take her, and I got, you know, enough, you know, with me, and I kind of like separated her ashes because I didn't want, you know, it's in my carry-on and then like I lose it or my suitcase gets stolen or whatever, you know, like I was just like probably overthought everything. But anyway, so I was ready, right? I got it all ready. And I arrive at the airport, and, you know, I arrive early because, you know, it's not like I made a habit of like traveling with ashes, you know, but I made sure I could, and I Googled, I had the right paperwork, all of this, I did everything the right way. And of course, you know, my suitcase is flagged by right away by like security, and I'm like, great, you know, and they open it up and she's right on top. And of course, by now I'm like, I'm already emotional, you know, about this whole thing. And I'm like starting to hyperventilate, and just seeing someone's hands on my mother, you know, like, I just wanted to like blurt out, like, that's my mom, you know? And actually I think I did. And I did. And I remember him saying, you know, I'm sorry, you know, just monotone, I'm sorry, but I still have to check this, you know, I'm sorry for your loss kind of thing. And I'm like, okay, don't get into like a altercation with the security guard, you know? Yeah. So anyway, everything is fine. And I wound up like getting to my gate and getting on the plane and arriving in New York City, you know, safe and sound. Luckily my husband actually was already on the East Coast. And he was there for business. And so he met me like later that night, I got in early, and you know, my best friend lives there, and so we were able to meet up, which was nice. But I remember sitting in the hotel room and just like, it's weird. It's, there's something about like, I don't know if you've gone through like losing someone close to you. And
yeah, well, I lost my mother as well. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so, when was that? Was that?
I think it's coming up on 10 years now. Yeah.
Years. Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. You can retell stories and then like, doesn't it just hit you where you just like, I don't know, for me, it's like, I mean, it's been a couple years now, 2.5, but I'll still like tear up over the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The pictures thing. Pictures got me the other day, actually. Somebody was showing me pictures I'd never seen before. And I was like,
yeah, I know. I'm gonna, I mean, music does it for me too, for me.
Music. But
what's that? Music.
Did you say music? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so I don't know if you remember how, if this was like that for you, but like in the very beginning, you know, there's like this hustle and bustle and like, you know, planning for the celebration of life, or, you know, like friends coming to your door and giving you a hug or dropping or sending flowers or whatever. There's like this commotion.
Yeah.
And of course you're mourning, but you have these distractions. And then when all is said and done, you know, and you're just alone with your thoughts, like I'm going to, you know, it just kind of like hits you. And so yeah. I just remember thinking like, wow, you know, I'm looking outside the window, you know, on the street, and like, everybody's like, you know, it's in January, you know, and it's a new year and there's this hustle and bustle and people are getting off of work and, you know, probably making plans to see friends, whatever. And I'm thinking, God, you know, no, my mother died. you know what I mean? It's like, how can life still go on? This is so weird. You know, I just had her hand in my hand. And anyway, so, you know, I'm dealing with all that, but I know I had to meet my girlfriend downstairs. So my best friend comes to meet me, and I had already like, you know, it was a crowded night, and I knew I probably looked like a lunatic, but I like had this framed, I had this framed picture of my mom that I traveled with me the whole time. And I would like put it on the table wherever I went. And I had that like one of those little battery operated lights, you know, and I like, I turned it on and I'm sitting there and I'm like sitting there with this framed picture of her with like a little light. And like, you know, this waiter comes over, takes my order, doesn't even bat it. I'm like, perfect, you know. Yeah, like, yeah. Thank God. I'm sure they've seen it all in New York, right? So I'm like, okay, you know. And then of course my friend comes, and I just, you know when you have a really good friend when she doesn't look like you, like you know, at you like you're completely deranged, you know. I think she got it. And so it was nice just to like reminisce with her about her, because she and I were, I mean, like we met when we were in, I think, third grade. So she had known my mom very long. And anyway, she actually wound up helping me one day go through Central Park with her. And anyway, so my husband comes the next day. We embark on what I lovingly call, you know, Operation NYC. And our first stop was, you know, well, first I have to say it was freezing. It was like, I don't know, like in their 20s or 30s. And for me, that's freaking cold. Like, I'm sure some people might maybe that cold, but for me, it was freezing. I'm used, you know, I'm from Hawaii. So like, super cold. But like, I was just invigorated by like my mission, you know, so it didn't bother me too much. And I remember like we were right by the Central Park. And so we walked through there, my husband and I, and, you know, we're like holding hands, and my other hand was in my pocket. And I'm like feeling that it's just such a weird like thing, like juxtaposition of, you know, here I am with by the way, we were only married for 4.5 months. So like this had all happened right, like so soon after we got married. And then I like sort of stealthily like sprinkle her along the sidewalk, you know, he had no idea. And then we get to the park, and there's like that skating ring, and I thought, oh, let's go here, you know. And then I thought maybe I would leave a little bit of her there, and then I realized, oh gosh, no, because she was always cold. I mean, I think she had the thermostat at like a comfy 87, 88 degrees at all times. Like she was freezing at all times. So I was like, oh God, no, okay, I'm not going to do that there. But he and I just skated around, and he's super athletic. So he was doing perfect geometric circles. I'm like, you know, waddling my way around the ice and like hoping I didn't break my neck before that tourney started, but like we survived. And anyway, so then we leave, right on the other side of the park was Bergdorf Goodman and the Plaza Hotel and all these places that she had, you know, talked about when I was growing up. And I had stories of with her, and so she may or may not be in the planters at Bergdorf. But basically, yeah, no, I brought her back to all these spots, and it was kind of like, you know, it's not like I know she's not gonna, you know, be in these locations for all of eternity, but it's like more like the act of like going there. It was more the act of like returning, like a nod to, you know, who she was, and the life and experiences that she had. And I probably should also give some backstory too. Like she, the subtitle to my book is Tales of the Original Party Crasher, because that's kind of what she was. She used to crash all of the Hollywood premieres in New York City. And she was very good friends with Ron Galela, who is a like one of the original paparazzi. So like he like shot everyone. And so when they were very young, they were good friends. And like he was just kind of starting out, and she would help, they would kind of like help each other get into these parties, because they would come in as a couple and she'd be all like dressed up, or hair, you know, flowers and like just like to the nines. And she'd like walk in and like hide his camera under the table, and then like, you know, sashay off to look for Sinatra or something. Like that was like her world when she was younger. So yeah, just kind of crazy stuff. So a lot of these programs from these events I came across when I was cleaning up her things in her home. And you know, it's interesting when you have like stories that someone's told you, they're kind of wispy. They're like, I mean, it's a story. I don't know. Is it true? Is it not true? Yeah. You come across like tangible things, it makes it all the more real.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've had that experience too. So yeah. So
and so are her ashes then completely scattered all over New York, or?
I mean, I have some too. I want to take her back to Hawaii as well, because that's, you know, some special places, but. Yeah.
So you see, so it's not fully in New York. So there's still a little chance you can bring her back to Hawaii as well.
Maybe on Fifth Avenue.
Well, hopefully she's delighted that she got in to New York and to the shop. Or may or may not have gotten into the shop. Thank you so much for coming on to share your story.
Oh, you're welcome. It was
Will you please remind everyone where to find you on the internet and where to check out your book everything else?
Yes, yes. So that journey kind of inspired this book and all the stories that I had with her. So it's Unapologetic, Tales of the Original Party Crasher, which is on Amazon. And there are no photos in the book, because I thought your imagination would be that much more powerful. And I basically have them all on my socials. So if you go to Caroline Nadine Helsing, author, you can see her. There's stories and videos about just like this crazy, like lovely, funny character that I called my mother. and yeah, so just Caroline Nadine Helsing, author on Facebook and Instagram. And yeah, it was so fun to actually tell you her story. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, it was really interesting. All the links, by the way, will be down in the description, in the show notes on the audio platforms and in the description box on YouTube. Thank you so much, Caroline Nadine, for coming on and sharing that story. If you are listening on an audio platform, please give us a review. It really helps us out in the L rankings. And if you are watching on YouTube, please consider subscribing. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Caroline Nadine, for joining.
Thank you.
And I'll see you in the next one. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.